So, pastor confession this morning. Sometimes reading a text out of our Bible, out of the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, is not enough for me. Yes, it's probably the most accurate English translation we have right now. It's been double and triple checked by multiple scholars. But sometimes I just need a different perspective, a new way to dive into these texts. And when that happens to me, I pull out a children's Bible. Because I am actually, you know, even though I spend most of my life auditory, like speaking, I'm actually a visual learner. And so sometimes I need a few pictures to help bring this story to life, a simpler language. And sometimes, you know, not every story is in a children's story Bible, but this week I was in luck. Spark came to the rescue with some very fun illustrations. And before I share the story with you, a little backstory. So these Israelites had been slaves in Egypt. And Pharaoh, you may remember, is a very oppressive boss. In fact, he was so threatened by the Israelites, he had the firstborn son of every slave family killed. And yet one of these little babies survived. You remember, this family just couldn't do it, and so they put their baby into a basket and float them down the Nile until they end up in the royal court. Little baby Moses, right? And he grew up to be the reluctant leader of the Israelites. Actually, Charlie mentioned that burning bush earlier, and he encountered God in this bush that was not burning. And God said, I need you to help my people. And Moses is like, you got the wrong guy. I don't like public speaking. And God's like, that's okay. You can do this with my help. And so he goes and he talks to the Pharaoh, and there are these terrible plagues. And Pharaoh lets God's people go. And so they left all that they knew and ventured off into the wilderness to be God's people, which brings us to today's story. So I invite you to put on your kid hat and listen to this story once more. So God so loved the Israelites and their leader, Moses. God promised to bring the people to a place where they could build homes and live happily. And they had never lived outside of Egypt before and were afraid. But God went with them as they walked long and far to the place God had promised. Traveling was hard and tiring, and along the way the people became hungry. They complained to Moses, I am so hungry, one boy cried. I wish we could go back to Egypt, whined a little girl. At least we had food to eat there. Her stomach growled. The people missed their dinner. The Israelites did not know that God heard them complaining. But that evening, something strange happened. Tiny birds called quails appeared everywhere. God sent the quails so the people could eat meat. The next morning, the ground glistened with fresh dew. Even after the sun had dried up the dew, there was still something covering the ground. It looked like bread had rained down from heaven. It was manna. The manna looked like tiny seeds and tasted like bread, and the people ate and ate. Every day, God set manna and quail so the people had food to eat. And the Israelites kept traveling toward the place God had promised, and after a while, they ran out of water. Even though God had given them food when they were hungry, the people still complained. My mouth feels like a dry desert, sobbed a child. The people were thirsty. This time, God told Moses to hit a rock with his staff. And when he did, water gushed out of the rocks. The people had more than enough to drink. God gave food and water to the Israelites every day. God took care of the people, just like God had promised. What really strikes me about this story is the first picture, and I'm Sorry, you're just going to have to imagine it with me. But these people look so hungry, including this kid is trying to eat their sandal. I know, right? Ew. Would not taste very good. It's no fun to be around hungry people. Mike will tell you after church that I am angry hungry, right? Hangry. I'm not a kind person until I get some sustenance after church on Sundays. Because it's really hard when you're hungry to think about anything else. When you're hungry, all of your thoughts are consumed about food. You think about your favorite foods, the best meal, even those commercials make your mouth water. And even if it's not something you really particularly like, you're like, yes. Food. For these Israelites, their hunger was also compounded by the fact that nothing was familiar. They were in the wilderness. They left their homes, their gardens, the markets where they would get food. They were slaves. And I can't imagine this was a picnic, but it was what they were used to. There was a routine. They knew where their next meal was going to come from. And I think when you're hangry and miserable, we long for something familiar, even if it's not ideal. What's funny about this story is instead of asking God or even Moses for help with their hunger pains, they go straight from being hungry to complaining about being hungry. It's so easy to get tunnel vision when we're hungry or angry or sad or uncomfortable. It starts to feel like there is no way out, no escape, no way to change the situation. You are just simply stuck. And yet, despite the fact that they did not ask God for help, God helped anyway. God hears their misery and comes to the rescue with quail at night, and manna for breakfast, and water from rocks. It's odd, but it's sustenance, and it's satisfying in an unexpected kind of way. The same thing happens in our gospel story. Jesus had just fed the crowds on that grassy field, 15,000 people, from one little boy's lunch of fish and bread. And so the next day, the people track him down for the next meal. But this time, Jesus wants to give them something more than a roll and a fish. He wants to give them a bread that'll satisfy their deepest needs. He wants to be their bread, to give them unconditional love and acceptance and invite them into a new way of living with one another. The people don't get it. And so we're going to sit with this idea of Jesus being the bread of life for the next 3-4 weeks. But what I'm left with for today is this. How often do we go straight to complaining instead of asking for what we need? What would it look like to open our hands and voice what we need for today? What are we really honestly hungering for? Is it acceptance? Is it global peace? Is it peace for your own mind and heart from the anxiety? Is it for things just to be a little easier? What are you hungering for today? And how can we trust that as we name what we need, we remember that God promises to provide, whether we ask for it or not? God promises to be our daily bread, our living bread. All we need is right here. We can trust that God loves us and wants to take care of us and feed us this day and tomorrow. And the last beautiful reminder in this wilderness story is that as God provides, it's always going to be an adventure. It's going to be a surprise. It's never going to be exactly what you think you need. Because often our imaginations are too small compared to the beautiful and sometimes strange things that God does for us. The Israelites longed for cucumbers, and what they got was this stuff called manna, which in Hebrew means, what is this? It's a whatchamacallit. And some scholars think, well, bear with me, they think that this could be the excrement of insects left on trees. We don't know. The Israelites didn't give us much more of a descriptor. But whatever it was, this stuff sustained those folks in the wilderness for 40 years. It's always going to be a surprise with God. But it'll be what we need. And so I want to invite us into a little reflection time. Hopefully by now you've got your orange piece of bread. And there should be some pencils and pens in the pews. And I want you just to spend 1 to 2 minutes thinking about what are some things you need that God provides for you? And what are you hungry for today? What do you need? So take a minute, reflect on that. Write it down. What are some things you need that God is already providing? What are you hungry for today? What do you need? I'm going to do it too. On the count of three, I want you to say out loud one thing you put on your bread. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Sleep. Let us pray. Good and generous God, you promise to be our God and provide for what we need. Thank you for being our bread of life. Hear the hungers of our hearts today. Show us how you are already providing for our daily needs. Help us trust that the manna is going to show up. And this will not be at the expense of our neighbors, for there is always more than enough. Help us lean into your abundance. Help us accept help when we need it and offer help when we see a need. All these things, Lord, we place in your loving and capable hands. Amen. If you would like to, you can take your bread home or you can offer it in the offering plate today. May you know that your needs are sacred and holy and that God hears you. Amen. Thanks be to God.